What's up, Real Sports fam? Welcome to episode 24 of the Real underscore Sports Podcast, the Snapchat Sports Pod. This is our fantasy football podcast, your breakouts, your sleepers, your busts, all that you need to know, plus details on a special Real Sports Fantasy League. So let's get it.
And down goes Frazier.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Hurry, way downtown. Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
What's up, Real Sports fam? I'm your host, Jack Settleman from Real underscore Sports on Snapchat. Big news coming, by the way, so stay tuned on that. As per my account, with me is my longtime best friend, Abe Granoff, and co-host of the pod, of course. Abe, what's going on, brother?
I'm jacked up. Had my first draft last night. Went well, took a lot of risks, but I got one more tomorrow. This is a good week. This week and next week when the fantasy drafts start happening, because like week three of preseason is over with, that's when it becomes real that football's back.
I got to bring you down a character. Well, first of all, we have college football coming up this weekend, which is hype.
Something about fantasy, I'm telling you, man.
Yes, fantasy's fun. But before we get you fully on cloud nine talking fantasy and NFL, you know what we're going to talk about first.
Your inability to find your teammates and make the right basketball play.
So for some context, if this is one of your first times listening to the pod, which is okay. Thank you to all the longtime listeners, though, of course. I would say probably 10 or 12 episodes, game two of my Monday Night City League in New York City. I passed the ball off to my cousin, my teammate. He missed the layup. It was a contested layup. Abe gave me a ton of grief on the podcast about how are you going to not take the last shot? How are you? Whatever. I said, look, we have a long season. We got to get everyone involved. It's just situational. So last night comes around, still hobbled from our championship run, by the way. My foot and shoulder are just still a mess. Game comes down to, 20 seconds left. I get the ball. I mean, I just crossed the shit out of this guy. But then they bring the double, and it was not – this is episode 24, so shout out Kobe, because a lot of people were responding that Mamba mentality. You're right. I probably could have passed, but, I mean, tell me that lay didn't look
what?
Good.
You know what, Jack? I'm watching this again back and forth to get my in-depth analysis. When I first saw it, I just, shut it off because I knew you'd get all cocky about it. So you start off, you call for the switch. You give a cross to the left, and then you're calling this a double team. This kid just gave the worst effort to reach in for the basketball.
Well, he was cutting off the lane, so I had to pick my dribble.
He got you tripped up a little.
Yeah. But
the other thing I noticed, so I came off the bat and I said, your inability to find your teammates. Your teammates made absolutely zero effort to get open on that play. There's one kid on the right to the top of the key.
Yeah, Zach. I commented on RS Pod after I posted the video tagging him. I was like, you were really looking for the ball there. He was like,
I honestly thought green shirt was a streaker on the court. I didn't realize he was on the team.
So that league, we have 10 on our team, but the league only gives you 8 jerseys, right? So early in the season,
rule is that?
No, because they don't want to pay for more than 8 jerseys. So they'll
pay for a film department.
Yeah. So earlier in the season, we showed up full team and you get a tech if a player doesn't have a jersey, but the guy was like, no, well, we have extras in the back. So they gave us, but he thought we still didn't have enough. So they didn't tee us up. So we actually would have lost the game because we won by one, but there was no technical foul given, which is pretty funny.
What kind of league is this?
Basketball City. It's really legit. Kemba has his summer camp there. Lance Stevenson's done camps there. NBAPA throws camps there. Really nice facilities. And we're in the right league. So it put us into the playoffs as one of the higher seeds.
I mean, no wonder you guys were in a winner-go-home situation. Look at the effort by the other four.
So anyways, now to fantasy football. You had your draft the other night. Tell us a little about your squad.
Yeah, so I had a draft last night. Me and my buddies from school. It was a 10-team league, full-point PPR. So I'm sitting at 10, and I have 11. So a big decision to make whether what type of position – I want to go, should I go running back, wide receiver, or the unconventional wide receiver, because a lot of people are adamant that running back's the way to go in fantasy. So to me, there was a consensus six running backs from the start, right? There's Saquon, McCaffrey, Kamara, DJ, Le'Veon,
Zeke.
And Zeke, right. After those six, it's kind of just a take your pick. The next running backs after that are like the Joe Mixon, Gurley, who has the injury question marks, and that area, and James Conner.
Melvin Gordon is in there.
Well, he wasn't in there because of this whole contract situation, but we'll get to Melvin. So me and my partner, Josh, we've done this the past years. We just love receivers in this PPR league. So Julio went the pick before us. We could have taken – no, Michael Thomas also went, and D-Hop did.
so you really left with the runs.
So we were going to get Julio or Devontae, and we really wanted Devontae Adams. Thankfully, Julio went the pick before. We picked up Devontae Adams, who has had 10 touchdowns the past three seasons. And then we had a decision. We were thinking about Mixon, but we decided that we're going to go the wide receiver heavy route, and we took Tyreek Hill.
Wait, can I ask? Was Juju on the board?
Juju was on the board.
Juju was on the board. You know my feelings on Juju.
Yeah, and I know your feelings are irrelevant to what I do with my team. You can GM your own team.
Okay.
And we'll find out in the real sports league.
Yeah, more details coming.
So whatever, we're stuck with two receivers, no running backs yet. And we go up in the third round. It comes back to us. So we're at the third and fourth round. And we have a decision on our hands because sitting there pretty, and we went for him. And we're getting a lot of heat for it. And I pray to God that he signs, but we went with it. We took Melvin. It's a boom or bust situation. I think his contract situation is a little different than Le'Veon's because he's still on his rookie deal. So the franchise tag isn't necessarily involved, and they can just move this year's salary to next year's salary because he doesn't become a free agent at the end of the year. So I don't think he'll sit out the entire season, though I do think he'll sit out a little bit of the beginning. And I don't get that.
So why would he sit out if he
why waste his body?
No, but I'm saying – you're saying he'll only sit out a bit of it. Does that mean that they get a deal done by week four instead of before?
No, it comes down to for every week of training camp and game they miss, they're getting fined by the team.
Right. So you think by week four, he's all of a sudden just going to be like, oh, I'm missing out on money. I want to play.
I don't know. I mean, a deal could get
what
done.
What do you mean you don't know? You put your whole fantasy season at jeopardy.
I know.
You better have known.
Well, the thing is, the Chargers are in the position where they can wait and see if Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson...
Which they will. They'll be good.
Oh, that's up to you. But will they be Melvin Gordon good for 16 games a year? That's hard to tell. But we took the risk on Melvin, and you would think that we would take another running back here just to play it safe with the running backs. But no. We went with the weapons, and we took Zach Ertz. So right now we're looking at Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Zach Ertz, and Melvin Gordon. To round out our roster, for our second running back slot, we took the rookie David Montgomery, who I know you're a fan of. So he's our running back one if Melvin doesn't play. Our running back two is a little question mark. It's either Darius Geis on Washington coming off a torn ACL when they drafted him really high, or Tevin Coleman, who had a great year for Atlanta with Devontae Freeman out. And is now in San Fran. Matt Breda might get some carries, but hopefully we don't have to start them and Melvin comes back soon. But we got T.Y. in our flex and Breeze at quarterback. So overall, I think we did really well for a PPR league.
I mean, your running backs are – I like David Montgomery, but I don't think like
– hey, I'm thinking rookie of the year potential with David Montgomery.
That's fine, but even – no, you're not. You picked Josh Jacobs to be rookie of the year. Well,
and then Josh Jacobs fell off the board and David Montgomery fell into my lap. It's funny how things work.
Yeah, that is funny how things work. So let's go with our – let's start with our one bold kind of take – for who we think is just going to be like a breakout star. It could either be a sleeper who you cannot miss on the draft. It can be, you know, even just calling like, I like Saquon to easily finish number one. He should be like a clear number one. So let's start with that. I'll go first. Actually, before we get into it, I have to make my baby goat pitch. Because I think like, obviously, you know, and everyone knows how I act on the snap is supporting Lamar Jackson. But this one, I genuinely want the followers to understand that there is no better pick at quarterback than Lamar Baby Goat Jackson.
It's just not true. It's not true.
How?
Because he can't just be that. You can't be that set in stone as a fantasy, like,
in terms of value.
What do you mean value? There's really no value in the quarterback position in fantasy. I saw some stat. Listen. I saw some stat that was the difference between Pat Mahomes and Jameis Winston, who was the 15th or 16th ranked quarterback last year, was an average of like 2.6 points per week or something. The quarterback, the kicker, and the defense aren't as valuable as these running backs and wide receivers.
That's my point as to why I would never draft a Mahomes or a Deshaun Watson.
Oh, we have a question on that later. Okay,
we'll get to that. But I'm saying for value's sake, you can get Lamar so late in your drafts, and there is a very high chance he's going to be a top five quarterback. Out of all, there's been five quarterbacks who have carried the ball like over 100 times in a season. And he's obviously projected to carry the ball the most times ever, hence why the Real Sports Fam tells me he's a running back every day. And out of those five quarterbacks, all five finished top five in fantasy quarterbacking. Three of them were top three, and two of them were number one. So if you think Lamar is a running back, that's even more reason, because he could throw for 200, he could score a touchdown or two, and then on the ground, for every 40 yards he runs, that counts for 100 passing yards. So it's just like there's so much value. The numbers say draft him, and you can get him late. There's zero reason to ever reach for a quarterback, even like you said, even like Mahomes. And then when you can get Lamar that late, and then add in Kyler, he won't have as many rushing yards, but these dual threat quarterbacks really put up a ton of fantasy points. You saw that when Vic was in Philly, he had one of the best fantasy seasons ever. So same thing with Cam.
Lamar's a good pick. Lamar's a good pick, but like, it's about the sample size. Like, he hasn't shown it yet enough to put that much confidence in him.
That's why it's an even better pick, because he's going to be our starting quarterback all 16 games if he stays healthy, and he's shown a very strong propensity in college and in the pros to staying healthy even as a runner. So you can still get him for value.
Right. I mean, some people are picking him up as a starter. I think someone picked him up in my league last night.
Yeah. So who's your bold claim, and then I'll go next.
I was kind of mad this guy didn't fall to me last night. One guy, it's not going to be like a bold claim, but who I expect to – he had a very underrated year last year, very under the radar, and I think he's just going to break the scene. I think they're going to be a good team this year. I'm going with Chris Carson, running back of the Seahawks.
Okay.
Last year he put up 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns sneakily. He can catch. He gets the targets. He had – around 30 targets last year, 170 receiving yards. He was sharing carries, but I just think that offense, they could run the ball the most in the NFL next year. That's what Pete Carroll does, and I just think he'll keep getting the reps, and he's about as efficient as they come. So they do have Rashad Penny there, but I think that he is a very, very high-value running back too for a 10 or even 12 team, especially 12-team league.
Yeah, they've already said reports in training camp that Carson will be the workhorse, which is really exciting. That's another thing that fantasy owners love and Seahawks fans hate, is how much they do run the ball when they have such a special talent with Russell Wilson. So Carson, well, where do you kind of project him to net out
then? So,
like you're saying he could be a top five back, or just for where he can get picked?
He can be a top 10 back for sure, in my opinion.
Okay.
I think last year he might have even finished as the eighth back or something. But this guy's going to get you 1,300 yards, essentially, on the ground and in the air. So right now he's being drafted as around like the number 17 running back, which, I mean, there are a lot of running backs to go through. He kind of falls just after that, like, Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook area, where you're more looking at like the Aaron Jones, Damian Williams, and then Chris Carson falls in that category. So I think he really breaks out and becomes maybe even next year a second round pick.
Wow. Okay. I don't hate that. So I'm actually going to give you props for finding that one. Mine is going to be a little on the bolder side, although I don't think it'll be that bold come season's end. I guess that's the point of making the pick. But I have Juju Smith-Schuster finishing as the number one. That's not that bowl.
Oh, number one?
Yeah, I've Juju Smith-Schuster. Excuse me. Juju Smith-Schuster is finishing number one fantasy wide receiver. So other people who, you know, people will project in front of him is D-Hop, obviously going fourth or fifth. Devontae, your guy. Tyreek, you took over Juju. Odell with Baker. Julio and Michael Thomas. So I think, and maybe even AB. So I think all those players have been listed before Juju, but I'm a big believer. I may have mentioned this before, but I'll give you the reasoning. They have to replace, you know, 10 touchdowns and thousands of receiving yards with AB. I'm not saying all of that goes towards AB and, or towards Juju rather. And you've pointed to, well, now that's only going to help James Washington, which I totally agree with. I think that's a solid pickup. Ben's always favored the second wideout, but Juju, he's ready to be a number one. That's part of why AB and Juju clashed so much. It was kind of under the radar, but they didn't love each other because Juju was taking the lion's share of his catches. Juju was ascending. AB was kind of falling off per the numbers.
AB falling off, please.
Based off what he had done in the past, there was a downward trend. That doesn't mean he wasn't great, and that doesn't mean he wasn't putting up big numbers.
Yeah, but he had 1,300 yards and 15 touchdowns last year.
That's okay, so now you have to replace 15 touchdowns.
That doesn't mean you automatically replace him. Like, you don't just get 15 touchdowns for losing them.
Correct, but let's say you get 10 to 12. I think that's reasonable. Let's say you get 10. Juju, you have to imagine, is the number one threat, gets three at minimum. I mean, three touchdowns, and he was already near top five production last year.
I'll tell you why I'm not a big fan of Juju. I do think he's good, but how much you're piping him up, that I do not know. So AB and Juju last year were both top five yard in the league in targets. That's just because the Steelers throw the ball so damn much. One, I think that they focus on Connor a little bit more and make him a bigger part of the offense and maybe don't throw the ball 45 times a game. Two, last year, Juju wasn't seeing these double teams because Antonio Brown was attracting the number one corner on every opposing team and a safety or another corner to double team him. He was still having that production, obviously, because he's Antonio Brown, but Juju was seeing a lot more of these one-on-ones, and I think that's why you saw a crazy production from him and also the volume of times that they throw. So a combination of them not throwing the ball as much and Juju being more strictly defended. And the fact that Ben Roethlisberger's entire career, we've talked about this before, has relied on the number two receiver throughout his entire career. Santonio Holmes and Antoine Rendell-El, and then Juju. Antoine Rendell-El. Sorry. Antonio Brown.
I think Martavis Bryant. Right, there were a few people I would have named
even, before. I keep talking about all these Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger, he's even liked his tight end throughout his career. Heath Miller, Jesse James, Vance McDonald now. So Vance this year. So they have a bunch of weapons still around him. I think Juju will be more hardly defended. And I don't see him being that like 1,300 yard double digit touchdown receiver that Antonio Brown was.
Yeah, I think my bet is that he'll easily – not easily. Well, yes, my bet is he'll easily make that transition to one. You have reservations because he has to make that jump, which is totally fair. I'm just a believer.
I actually think he regresses. I'm looking at his numbers now from last year. How do you really go up from 111 receptions and 1,400 yards? He only had seven touchdowns.
Are those projections?
That's what he had last year. I don't know how you go up from that.
It's pretty impressive.
Julio's talking about going for 3,000 yards. I don't know about that.
Yeah, imagine you. But he'll still have only two touchdowns.
I had that problem this year.
So let's go with our sleepers that we really like. Do you want to start?
That was kind of one sleeper, but.
Who was?
You gave Juju. Well, Juju wasn't a sleeper, but I say Chris Carson.
Well, yeah.
Juju, but all right, I'll go first. I'm going to say I wanted him too last night. He didn't fall to me. Devontae Freeman, Atlanta. He was a big name when he was healthy the past 3 years. He had two back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing years. Then he had 800 yards, and this was all when Tevin Coleman was there. Then last year, obviously, he got hurt in week three, missed the entire rest of the year, didn't do anything. Tevin Coleman's gone. He's healthy. I think the Falcons have a big year. And I think Devontae Freeman's a big part of that offense. They have so many weapons on the outside to take attention away from Freeman. The better your passing game, the better your running game. And I think Matt Ryan has a big year. He even could have numbers like he did in his MVP year. I think the Falcons make the playoffs for sure. I think Devontae Freeman will be a big part of that. So I'm looking at Devontae Freeman, especially in a PPR league. When he was healthy, he was having 70 receptions, 50 receptions, and over 400 yards every year. So in a PPR league, Devontae Freeman could even be a running back one.
I'll throw out a couple names just because I like throwing out names. Like, I think Calvin Ridley's probably being slept on. He did a really good job last year. And I don't mind if you're the second wide receiver on a team, especially because we think the Falcons are going to improve this year. My sleeper is Chris Godwin from the Bucs. He'll be wide receiver.
That was literally my
next. It's a really trendy pick, but for in case anyone on the pod hasn't drafted and hasn't gotten him, he's going to be awesome this year. He's going to get a ton of targets. Should be more. Jameis loves him. He's on the field for most of the snaps. They lost to Sean and Adam Humphries, so I think it really helps Godwin. He'll have a ton of game-breaking plays. You also have Kerryon Johnson for the Lions. Running backs on that team are never a fun guy to pick. They didn't have 100-yard game till last year. But let me bring you some little inside news potentially. I also don't know necessarily where or how this affects each player, but a little birdie told me that Stephon Diggs for Trent Williams has been up in the air as a clean swap. And I think, you know, you have that split production
poor Stephon Diggs.
Between Diggs and Thielen. So potentially, I mean, Diggs got 150 targets last year and Thielen, you know, he had something along those lines. So it's not like the production is going to necessarily spike, but they would both be the clear number one in their spot. Like Thielen had 153, so they still got plenty of action.
Trent Williams reunites with Kirk.
Yeah. So if that happened, would that help anything in your?
I think it would help my Darius Geis and my running back situation on my team. Like I said, the better the passing game, the better the running game. I don't think the Redskins are gonna be that good this year. I'm kind of nervous about Geis, especially with a crowded running back room. I kind of let my partner talk me into that one. But
You went risky at running back.
Yeah, I mean, we've done it every year. We've had unbelievable teams, and last year things went south. But we had some injuries last year. We've always been a receiver-heavy team. It's been criticized in the league. People are running back-heavy teams. But, hey, you got to play your own game.
Do we have a question about Melvin or Zeke and all of that? I know we kind of touched on. Okay, so let me read a little ShipStation ad, and then after that, we will get to the questions. When you're selling online, getting your orders out can be a real pain. That's why you need ShipStation.com. It's the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship your orders. No matter what you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, ShipStation.com brings all your orders into one simple interface. ShipStation helps you get orders out quickly, save money on shipping costs, and keep your customers happy. And right now, Blue Wire listeners, Real Sports Fam listeners, can try ShipStation for free for 60 days when you use promo code BLUE. There's absolutely no risk. You can start your free trial even without entering your credit card info. ShipStation works with all of the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, UPS, even Amazon Fulfillment, so you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the mic at the top of the homepage, and type in BLUE at ShipStation.com, then enter promo code BLUE. ShipStation.com, make ship happen. Yeah, all right, so what's the first question? Time. Yeah, it's a great tagline.
Yeah, so a bunch of people sent a lot of great questions to my Instagram DMs. That's actually one part of doing this podcast that I love is all these DMs I get.
Yeah,
some questions are funny. Some just rip on you. Some rip on me and what we say. But occasionally get a good question. I love that people. You guys are always we're always going back and forth together. But we got a question from baseball.riley99. Riley wants to know, just listen to the podcast, and my question is, do you think Ezekiel Elliott will return to play this season and is worthy of the fourth overall pick in the first round of fantasy? Why don't you go ahead and ask that first?
Will Zeke, so Zeke is very okay with sitting out, and it appears based off Jerry Jones' arrogant comments that, you know, they don't care to pay him, as they shouldn't. They should not pay a running back. We've been very clear on that stance. Is he worth the fourth pick?
Clear on that stance.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a fact. But will Zeke sit out, or is it? I think the real question that was asked is: is he worth the fourth pick, or should you wait? I think you, if you think he's coming back, you take him at four.
Oh, come on,
and it'll be a value pick. What do I think is going to happen?
What would you do? Would you take him at four if you had the fourth pick? Answer the question.
If I had the fourth pick, no, I wouldn't. I don't see – the risk is way too high. You can get quality players. The same way you mentioned that Jameis might have been 2 points behind Mahomes, I think a DJ or Hopkins or whoever else is going in that side, even Joe Mixon can put up similar numbers this year, and I just don't think it's worth the risk, honestly,
Riley,
at all.
You got fourth pick. Take Zeke. Take Zeke. First off, I do think he'll play this year for sure. I think if anything, I'm a little bit in the hot seat and Melvin might not play just because the Chargers have a way more fluid situation on contractually with their entire team, as well as competent running backs in their running back room with Eckler and Justin Jackson. Whereas the Cowboys' whole offense is predicated around Zeke and especially Dak Prescott's success. And that's widely known. He just opens up everything for them. The numbers of the Cowboys with Zeke on the field and not on the field are, there's a huge difference between them. I mean, this guy is getting you, he's going to touch the ball 350 times. He's a lock for at least 1300 yards. I mean, if he wasn't suspended 2 years ago, he would have been the NFL rushing leader all 3 years he's been in the league so far. He ran for 1600 yards and then 990 in 10 games. And then last year, 1400 yards. Plus he's giving you upwards of like 30 to 50 receptions. I mean, he had 77 last year, which was crazy. So I think the risk reward is there just because he's a guaranteed top three back in fantasy or top four back in fantasy this year. And that's just so valuable in any league to give you a guy that can get you in a PPR league, like 22 a game, like is unbelievable. He'll have games where he can go for 40. And the Cowboys have been known for making deals late in training camp. Whether those deals are good or not is a different story. But like I said, Zeke is not in the same situation, similar to Melvin, that Le'Veon was in the fact that he's not a free agent after this year. So he still has 2 years left on his contract. He doesn't move up a year and to chance become a free agent after this year. He's losing money by the day. The Cowboys know how much they need him. He wants to be there. I think you go for it.
I get what you're saying. I just, once you start missing any games at all, it really affects your ranking and finishing as a top. Like if he misses four games, which I think you agree is honestly possible, then
he's just drafting. You got to draft.
He won't finish as a top five back.
Like last night, actually, so we drafted Melvin obviously, and the plan was to get Austin Eckler on the round on the way back, and of course the pick before us, they didn't even need him. Two of my buddies, Brillo and Boof. Yeah, I know. Those are some names, real sports fan. Brillo and Boof. But I knew they were going to take him just to spite us. They screw us every year, one way or another. And they took Austin Eckler. And, of course, now I was talking to Brillo today. He's trying to make obscure trade offers. And I'm just like, keep him. I'll figure it out. I don't want to deal with you.
I think you got to let go of your ego on that front.
I'm not getting ripped off. Like I have running backs that, like, Kevin.
There's no ripoff, though. Eckler's going to have more fantasy points this year than Melvin Gordon.
Well, that doesn't matter. Austin Eckler have more than Darius Geis or Tevin Coleman? Like, who knows? There's Justin Jackson there.
Yes. The answer is yes to both. I'm going to go on my little rant of, you say draft Zeke, that's fine. But my advice is do not draft Melvin Gordon. It does not look like he's going to play this year. And even if he does, that backfield is super crowded. Eckler takes valuable carries away. And JJ, he's a good player. The Chargers do not need Melvin Gordon in the slightest. They can get the production that those two give. We've talked about how you can build a running back, a backfield easily. The Eagles did it. They won a Super Bowl. The Patriots do it every year. Like, you don't need running backs. And these organizations are starting, they're getting so analytical and they're going number heavy. And the data says you don't need to pay a running back $20 million. Running backs don't win you games.
Okay. Well, you're saying production. Don't draft Melvin. Okay. He's not just going to be a free agent. So where do you take that risk and go for it? Cause I did it on the first pick of the fourth round.
Essentially, my advice would be let someone else take the risk because someone will, because that's just how it goes. Someone will take that risk.
All right, but where does let that risk have become that risk. Somewhat you, of a reward for the spot that you got them?
It should never get to the point of where you need to draft him, but hypothetically, like halfway through the fifth round.
So I drafted him as my RB1, and now David Montgomery, when he's out, will be my RB1. And I'm all in, baby.
Right. Who's a running back by committee backfield? Plus you have Guice.
Oh my god, Guice. If you think Puig is bad, you just say Guice.
You have Guice coming off a torn ACL.
So you don't like my
running
team
back
at all.
By committee backfield. You have. I said your running backs. I just don't know why you did that to yourself. I love the rest of the team.
Tyreek, Devontae, and Ty to make up for it.
Yeah, I didn't realize you left Juju on the board. I would obviously disagree with that one as per my earlier claim.
Devontae and
but
Tyreek.
I like the weapons you have. Honestly, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to probably trade. Like, let's hope Ty starts off hot with Jacoby and then just ship him off for a running back.
Like, what, you don't know what these guys are going to do.
Okay, and what if I win the lottery tomorrow? We're just making
big
things
on
up that aren't going to happen. I am. He's a really good player, but he's still running back by committee and a rookie. So he can't, he's a flex at best is my point. Maybe he's a mid-level RB2, but like you're expecting high level RB2
production.
No one
thought Philip Lindsay would do what he did last year. Why don't we move on to Philip Lindsay? Why don't we move?
That's because who was the other running back?
Royce Freeman last year or someone.
Yeah, and Royce Freeman, like, he fell off the earth. Tariq Cohen's not going there.
Speaking of Philip Lindsay, let's move to who we think are going to be a big bust this year.
You got a shout out. Well, who asked the first question, by the way?
Baseball.Riley99. Shout out, Riley. I said draft Zeke, Riley.
Okay, cool. I wanted to make sure we shout him out. Let's keep going with the questions, right, and then we'll close with the bust.
I got a question from T-Smurz11. T. Smurz wants to know, is there a draft strategy that you prefer? Like go heavy running back wide receiver early and wait on a quarterback / tight end? Or would you take a gamble on an Ertz or Mahomes?
All right. I'll go with my normal draft strategy. So we touched on I'm a running back heavy guy because I find it to be, you know, once you really get into that thick of things, kind of like you did at the end, you're really just throwing darts. So I like to take running backs to start off, and then I kind of piece my wideouts. I never draft a quarterback early. You mentioned it, you know, Mahomes finished 2 points per game above Jameis, so you don't really win leagues off quarterback. So I always go running backs to start, then wideouts. If I get put in a position where I have to reach for or get a wide out over running back, I'll do that. I'm a big fan of just taking my own guy. So like if I see Godwin and I'm nervous, he might either be taken after me, or I think like, you know, it could be technically early and there's other players. I'm still going to take him. I'm still going to take Lamar probably around early because I think it's worth it. So I'm one of those, like, go get your guy. If you believe it's them. If you don't know a lot about fantasy, then you probably shouldn't do that, just going off names. But I do that, and then just you don't even need to draft a kicker or defense.
Those should be your last. Those should be your last
because
two picks.
Week by week, exactly, they have to be your last two picks. You can also build, you know, a nice little repertoire of quarterbacks based off, like for example, like a Flacco, a Matt Ryan, a Lamar, a Cam Newton, like some of these guys that you'll find later in the drafts. You can kind of piece them together. So Joe Flacco and Matt Ryan will not have.
I think Matt Ryan easily
top
could.
Five strong.
And I don't think Joe Flacco has been a fantasy starter years.
Correct, but my point is, let's say even you could take a Joe and a Jameis, And if you started them when they're each playing like a worse defense, you could
compile a strong starting team if you're deciding between Jameis and Joe Flacco.
I mean, if you take Lamar, you're fine. So, but you get what I'm saying. If you kind of think of it from the daily fantasy perspective and you just match it up versus the bad defenses, you can actually build that. You can't really do that with running back. You can try, but it won't go as well. So
right.
Those are my draft strategies. So for me,
obviously, I told you that in past years I've done this, and this year I did it. I go wide receiver heavy, especially in a PPR league. Let me just be clear, because if you're not a PPR league, you got to go get a running back or you're screwed. And that's part of the reason why I do receivers is because that point per reception is huge. Like half point's a different story. It puts a little bit more emphasis on the running back. But a full point where the wide receivers are the deepest position in fantasy sports, which is also fantasy football, which also means that they're the most top heavy and have the most superstars at the top, where you're getting these number one receivers on good offenses like Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs in round three. And you can get multiple at the top that are superstars. And like I did, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams. Last year, I had Michael Thomas and Julio Jones together. But he also asked about the tight end position. So when you're drafting a tight end, there's really only three that you take earlier. And by early, I mean like top five rounds. And that's Kelce, Ertz, and Kittle. I took Ertz last night in the third round. But these are because you treat these guys as if they're a receiver. Like, they're just big, big receivers that occasionally will throw a block at somebody. Like, they're going out. They're getting 8 to 9 targets a game. They're putting up touchdowns. So you're drafting them as a receiver. So if you're not getting one of those three, and maybe you go running back heavy and then get a tight end, because the people like Kelce, Ertz, and Kittle are getting, like, they could easily be the number one target on their team this year. So you get that. Other than that, it's kind of just like take your pick and get lucky with like Jared Cook, OJ Howard, Evan Ingram, David Njoku, Hunter Henry. So I really think that if you're not getting one of those three, wait on a tight end, wait till they start going, and then take your pick. Quarterback also, I'm not a big going early. Wait, you can get guys like Matt Ryan, who I think 2 years ago I had Matt Ryan like very late. He had an MVP season. Quarterbacks are they go off all the time with these 300-yard games and multiple touchdowns, where you can get top quarterbacks like way later in the draft. Even Russell Wilson falls a while, and he's a huge threat in fantasy because of what he does on the ground. So I'm a wide receiver guy, tight end only if you're getting one of the top three, take him early, and quarterback, sit back and relax. Last night we forgot to take a quarterback. We're like, oh shit, we should probably take a quarterback. And it was Breeze or Dak, and we took Breeze.
That seems like an obvious choice, but I guess in fantasy perspective, I had a question come in that was Dak or Wentz in terms of fantasy value. Shout out Piper for the question.
You really want me to answer this?
I mean, he said he knows what – he's actually an Eagles fan, so he knows how
– So why is he asking the question?
Well, I'm curious
– Come on, you know the answer.
I don't know what the answer is in terms of fantasy because I don't – like – I guess Wentz could get – he's just been hurt a little, so.
A little?
Yeah. Is it obvious – like, is it 10 times out of 10 it's Wentz?
No, I mean, if Carson Wentz is healthy the entire season, of course it is.
Even in terms of fantasy, though.
Yeah, because Carson is still a threat on the ground. You saw the numbers that he put up and what he was on his way to be an MVP that season. He had 33 touchdowns through 13 games. He had 7 interceptions. He was throwing for 255 yards a game. Like, and look at the weapons that the Eagles have now around him. They finally have a really solid backfield in Miles Sanders, who's expected to have a big role. Jordan Howard, who we went out and traded for. Still have Corey Clement. Darren Sproles will get a few too many carries here and there. And adding DeSean Jackson to this offense, I can't emphasize enough what it does for the players around him and Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey, who are these big, big receivers with great hands that are just going to be in single coverage across the middle. Zach Ertz will have a linebacker on him one-on-one, where he's used to having that safety over the top, but now that safety over the top is going deep with DeSean Jackson. I just think Carson has all the weapons around him. Granted, I'm biased, and I would never answer Dak in a million years, but to me, it's a no-brainer. It's just a matter of if you believe Carson will stay healthy, which as an Eagles fan, I am legally obligated to do. then it's a no-brainer. Granted, Dak has still had good years, but he's putting up 20 touchdowns a year through 13 interceptions. Yeah, I was going
to say, like, if there's any respect to give to Dak, it's just about his winning ways. There's nothing to do with fantasy. I would never want Dak as my quarterback. I would never, like, draft him unless he fell.
So you would take Carson, too?
I would take Carson. I'm glad. I'm also glad you recently were talking about tight end. I kind of want to add that to my new draft strategy. I never would get one of the top three tight ends, even when it was Gronk or Tony Gonzalez, and it always seemed to burn me.
I had Gronk a few times, and it's honestly very big.
It's huge because, like we said, or like you said, Mahomes to Jameis is 2 points, but the number one versus the number 15 tight end is a massive
and
gap.
And you treat these guys, they're number one receivers that are filling a position, and then you have the wide receiver position in fantasy where it's so deep, and you can get guys like Robert Woods in the fifth round who are he's going to get a shit ton of targets and can fill that wide receiver two spot if you need. So you're looking at two number one receivers on your team, except one is in a wide receiver slot and the other is a George Kittle, Zach Ertz, Travis Kelce, who fills your tight end position.
Gotcha. All right. Do we have another question or are we talking bust?
I think we might have one more question. We've got, I picked up Cam. This is Aiden. Well, shout out T Smurfs for that question. Hope we gave you a good answer. I got one from Aiden.Gats07. He wants to know, I picked up Cam and Russell in the later rounds of my draft. Who do I start? Not just right away, but down the stretch, who is the better option?
So I think you kind of answer, or I answered that, and it's you just go week by week, and you just see which team has the worst defense. They're both going to put up very similar production. I assume Russell will finish the year with more points, and plus Cam, you know, he's probably going to miss a few games with injury. He does every year, but just look at it per week, and who has a better matchup, who's playing. You actually want to target – it's kind of complicated, and this might complicate things, but you actually want to target the game that will be where the quarterback has a better chance of losing because then they're in more passing situations. So
I don't know if I agree with that.
I mean, that's just a fact.
So say Cam is playing the Rams, who have, we'll say, one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Well, it's more about secondaries, but
they have Lamar Joyner, they have Peters, they brought in Eric Weddle, your guy from Baltimore.
He's horrible. I mean, he's absolute.
But anyway, I mean, they have the best player in the NFL.
That's why it's complicated, because to target a competitive game, you're going to assume you're actually playing a better defense. So it goes, it really is a case by case situation. But if you can target a game where he'll have more pass attempts, but also you just want to play the worst defense.
Listen, in my opinion, just talking about Cam and Russell Wilson, Cam is, like, if he's healthy, which I don't think he will for 16 games, then I think actually he's the better option than Russell Wilson this year, just because the Seahawks run the ball so much. Granted, Russell Wilson will probably give you more on the ground than Cam, but Cam will give you, you know, he's going head first when he shouldn't at the goal line for a goal line touchdown. Like, he'll give you a few rushing touchdowns at the goal line. He'll still run the ball. It's just a matter of if he can stay healthy. I don't think he would, so I would take Russell before him. But I do think if Cam does play all year, then he probably will have a better year fantasy-wise.
Yeah, that's – I mean, there's no way he plays 16. I don't even know how – his arm might fall off mid-season.
Yeah, he's in
shape. All right, let's finish up with our bust of the season. Like, I'm not just saying this for effect, and I'm actually going to use some help from ESPN, but I agree with it. My bust is Patrick Mahomes. And it's
define bust.
Exactly. So the definition of bust is for where he's being drafted,
which is like the third and fourth.
No, I mean, his average draft position is 19. So that's end of second round.
I don't know. I don't know who's taking him 19. In every mock I've seen in draft, I mean, this is what the websites are saying, but he went in the third.
Okay. So, but where in the third round? Early in the third round? So between 19.
I don't know exactly, but irrelevant because I don't take a quarterback there.
So that harps on what my draft strategy from earlier is that, well, one, Mahomes, there hasn't been a quarterback who's repeated as the top fantasy quarterback since 2004. It's just really hard. to repeat like that. Even when Peyton threw his 50 touchdowns or Brady, they never even repeated that. That's another reason why I don't think he's going to MVP this year, because it's always an ever-changing thing between the two. Although I think he's an absolute special talent. You're going to have to pass up on people like Joe Mixon, Keenan Allen, Dalvin Cook, Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton, Zach Ertz. And you can get that production from your quarterback or close to it way later in the draft. So in terms of who not to reach for, it's people like Mahomes. People are listing Le'Veon as a bust. I actually don't agree with that.
I'm big on Le'Veon
this year. So who's your bust?
So for my bust this year, I'm not going to say bust because I'm still thinking he can put together a great year, but big time regression, Keenan Allen. What, you like Keenan?
I mean, the thing with Keenan, unless you're going to say because of injuries, which is a fair point, but
it's part of it.
No Melvin, and when he's on the field, he's one of the best receivers in the league, only for production, but for fantasy.
He's had, last year he had 1,200 yards, 6 touchdowns. The year before that, 1,400, 6 touchdowns. Number one reason you said is health. It's a big issue. Can he stay on the field for 16 games? I don't think he necessarily will, but another big thing for me is that Mike Williams and Hunter Henry are being integrated back into the offense, and I think you're going to have huge years and take away from Keenan Allen. You look at what Mike Williams did last year. He had 10 touchdowns in 5 games and had 670 receiving yards. If he's healthy the entire year, plus you throw Hunter Henry in the mix, who's proven to be a solid tight end, I just think the targets go away from Keenan Allen. I don't think he's getting those 130 target seasons, and it gets lowered down to maybe 100 around that. I don't think he has 100 receptions. Maybe he'll have 1,000 yards, but I just see a huge regression from him. I wanted to stay away from him. He's getting drafted pretty high, around probably the 3rd round in most drafts, but that's someone to me, especially even if they don't have Melvin, that means teams are going to be more focused to them on the passing game and showing more looks at Keenan Allen. I just think he's destined to have a big time regression. And he's been a solid receiver fantasy wise every year, but I just don't see that happening.
I love Keenan, so it's hard for me to go against him, but I get the pick. I mean, if you're going to go kind of towards his health, then it's, you know, it's not a bad pick.
But Mike Williams' production for when he was on the field was unbelievable.
Any late round heroes before we sign off? Ooh, you know who's the guy this year, honestly?
Yeah.
How do you feel about Tyler Boyd?
Tyler Boyd, I like that. I like it, I don't love it. Because people forget AJ Green's going to come back in week 3 or whatever.
But he's always hurt, and Boyd's going to start getting wide receiver. He's going to get like that Juju role.
I think he'll get a shit ton of targets, but I also think that Zach Taylor, who came from the Rams and is now the Bengals coach, is going to bring a lot of that Rams offense here, and I think that's where Mixon will see the huge jump for that offense and getting a lot more targets in the passing game, taking away some targets from AJ and Tyler Boyd. So when you break it down and Joe Mixon becomes way more of a receiving threat, then maybe there's less targets to go around. Not to mention that offense is horrible as it is, but I just think Joe Mixon is set to have such a big year that I wouldn't put my faith in the Bengals receivers.
That's fair. I mean, my dynasty team has multiple Bengals on it, which is just a dangerous comedy. And it had Andrew Luck, which is just, that's tough because I traded, when we started the league, it was about 4 or 5 years ago. I traded like my first and third to move up to one to draft Luck because I was like, I'm going to have the number one fan. I'm going to have a top 3 fantasy quarterback for 10 to 15 years. And I was like, that's worth it to me. And, all right. So special announcement. So what we're going to be doing
is a real sports pod
fantasy league. So it's going to be me and Abe, and it's going to be 8 or 10. We're deciding between a 10 or 12 person league, and they're going to get to play for free. We'll say the rules on how to enter. $500 prize.
Bang.
Bang. That's going to be fun. And we're going to hopefully do a live draft, and then it's going to become a podcast segment, which will also be cool. We'll reference it. So like, we've done giveaways before, which are cool. You know, we just did a Madden one. We've done Kyrie shoes, stuff like that. But this is going to be like a super fun league that's constantly going to be talked about, referenced on the Snap, on the RS Pod, on the Instagram and stuff. So really cool opportunity. Details will come out. We'll obviously post on RS Pod on Instagram. I'll post my Snap story. Abe, I'll even make him post on his personal Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll do the same. And I think not only are we going to give out $500 and it's going to be free entry to the 8 to 10 people, but we're going to have a loser
punishment,
like loser punishment, but it's only going to be who finishes worse, me or you.
Okay.
So we're going to have to craft up something special.
Maybe we'll take suggestions.
Yes, we're definitely going to take suggestions. We'll come up with that. But so stay tuned for that. That's coming very soon. Thank you guys for listening to episode 24 of the Real Sports Podcast. I'm Jack Settleman for Real_Sports on Snapchat. Abe signing off. Abe, any last words?
Yeah, whoever is fortunate enough to join this fantasy league, it's not personal. Whatever I'm going to do to you in this league. I might get a little ruthless on the podcast if you take one of my players, but it's all love in the end.
All right, Real Swords fam. Peace.